International. Franchise Pictures. And Amon-Ra Films present a Filmline International production. A film by Christian Duguay, Wesley Snipes, colored lights flash behind a metallic grid. The Art of War, with narrative description by Audiovision Canada. The metallic grid resolves into the pixels of a television screen. A digital globe revolves on the giant circular television screen. Anne Archer. Maury Chaykin. Marie Matiko. Kira Hiroyuki Tagawa. Liliana Komorowska, James Hong. With Michael Biehn. And Donald Sutherland. Costumed musicians entertain at a huge party. Casting by Rosina Bucci, Vera Miller, Nadia Roma. Costume designer, Odette Gaduri. Music supervisor, David Franco. Music by Normand Corbet. Film editor, Michelle Arcon. On the giant TV screen.
Only minutes away from midnight here at the fabulous Jay Park Hotel in Hong Kong. It's a star-studded event, typical of the man they call the Donald Trump of Asia, David Chan. Sir, what are your last thoughts of the 20th century fade?
Well, tonight we join the rest of the world in celebrating new millennium. But next month, we Chinese begin the Year of the Dragon, the year 4698.
Live from the floor of the party.
But seriously, celebrating the new Western millennium is quite a symbolic moment for China, Hong Kong, and myself.
A man in a tuxedo glances at his watch. Setting his glass of champagne aside, he leaps over a balcony and plummets down the side of the hotel to a large neon sign high on the outside of the building. In the street below, a woman carries coffee through a crowd. Executive producers, Ellie Samahoff, Dan Halstead, Wesley Snipes. Story by Wayne Beach. A large inflatable dragon makes its way along the street. Screenplay by Wayne Beach and Simon Davis Barry. As the woman with the coffee gets into the back of a van, she glances up at the hotel. A video camera on the van zooms in on the neon sign high on the building. On top of the sign, the man removes his tuxedo jacket and a hidden backpack.
What is he waiting for?
The woman slips on a headset as she watches her video monitor.
What are you waiting for?
Novak, I'm experiencing the moment.
He's going to experience a Chinese labor camp moment if he doesn't stick the schedule.
Produced by Nicholas Clermont.
We are 10 minutes away and he's sightseeing.
Don't worry about it, I'm always right on time.
Directed by Christian Duguay.
We're good to go.
The man in the tuxedo, Neil Shaw, leaps down onto one of the Chinese characters in the sign high above the street. Lowering himself over the edge, Neil lets go, dropping several feet to a ledge where he hangs on for balance. Stepping toward the building, he plants a suction cup device on a window and extends the miniature camera attached to it. He aims an infrared beam through the glass, transmitting an image to Novak and her partner, Bly.
Got it.
Good stuff.
Not so good. Thought you said he worked facing the window.
He does.
Not today.
Neil aims his camera at a laptop inside the building.
He can't see where the infrared port is.
Hold on. You can never pay too much for good intelligence.
Neil bounces the beam off a mirror to the IR port on the back of the computer.
All is up.
We're receiving.
Files download to Novak and Bly's computer, and diagrams of rockets and missiles flash across their screen. Neil detaches his camera from the window.
Now please, join with me in counting us down into
China's new future.
Back at the party, Neil retrieves his champagne.
Sure.
Gao.
Shit.
At the party, and down in the street below, revelers count in the new year.
3, 2, 1!
The hotel lights fail, plunging the party into darkness.
What's wrong? It's a Y2K!
The lights in the street are out, too.
It's a Y2K!
Setting his champagne down, Neil plugs a cable into an electronic device.
Not in my city!
Fireworks explode in the sky over Hong Kong. Neil moves through the crowd.
Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Happy New Year!
Coming at you.
Neil glances around the room. On her monitor, Novak spots an obese man surrounded by young women at a corner table.
Okay, I got him.
Neil takes off his glasses. In the corner, a young girl sinks beneath the table in front of the man who is wearing a military uniform. A miniature camera in Neil's glasses transmits to Novak, who can see the girl giving the army officer oral sex.
13, 14-year-old girls. Sick fuck.
Bly peers intently at the monitor.
That's good.
Did you get that?
Yep.
Let's do it. Phone.
Here we go.
The officer, General Ochai, picks up his cell phone.
Moya.
Happy New Year, Defense Minister.
Who is speaking?
Well, you can think of me as your conscience.
Huh?
Sending.
Maybe you should direct your attention to the big screen.
Looking over at the big screen, Ochai sees the girl's head in his lap under the table.
Come!
Ochai shoos the girls away and zips his fly.
You.
Last month, he took $90 million of UN aid money and spent it on Chinese missile technology. That money was for flood victims and starving children. Now, I'm quite sure the North Korean government won't mind, but how do you think the world press is going to react to that?
What do you want?
I want you back at the negotiating table with South Korea tomorrow.
That is impossible.
Sending.
He's in here, Ochai tells an aide. Find him.
Oh? Well, just take a look at your monitor.
Ochai looks up to see diagrams of missiles flashing across the screen.
Well, if it's still an impossibility, press 1 on your keypad. If it's a possibility. Excellent choice.
As Neil shuts off his cell phone, a security guard in the crowd points him out to a grim-faced Asian man. Neil moves off through the crowd.
I think I've been made.
The grim-faced man is heading toward him.
Sure, I'm picking up a lot of chatter on the security channel.
On her monitor, Novak sees David Chan speaking with a Caucasian.
The man next to Chan is Alex Wingate, media mogul.
United States, United Europe, United China. There's no difference. Our blood is 68% gold.
Opening China's doors to the West is a little more complicated than that.
Oh, Alex. You know we'll try to contribute what we can to make it easier.
And you, sir, who might you be?
Me? I'm Eddie Murphy. Would you hold this, please?
Neil floors a man nearby with one punch and hurries away.
Hit me!
Neil pushes his way through the crowd. Chan sends a grim-faced man, Ming, his security chief, after Neil. Neil lashes out with his feet at two men and punches a third. Then he slams a fourth man in the groin and flips another onto a table.
Okay, go to phase 2.
Stepping onto a ramp, Neil fends off a kicking attack from another guard.
Right, yeah, I got it.
Bly redirects the feed from the camera in Neil's glasses. The big screen shows the fight from Neil's point of view, and the crowd loves it. As Chan leads the crowd in applause, Neil suddenly counterattacks, stunning the man with one kick, then downing him with another. Ming leaps to the attack and Neil squares off against him. Neil's moves force Ming back along the ramp. In their van, Bly and Novak coolly watch the fight. Neil dodges a spinning back kick and lands one of his own. Blocking another kick, Neil moves in and grabs Ming. He punches him in the kidneys, kicks his feet out from under him, then strides away along the ramp. Dispatching another guard with one punch, he slides on his knees and bowls another one over.
I know what's coming.
Neil slides to the end of the ramp and vaults over the balcony railing. He lands on the ledge below. Recovering the backpack he left there, he slips it over his shoulders.
Quiet, quiet! It's okay!
As Chan organizes his guards, Neil leaps off the building. He pulls a ripcord, and a parachute pops out of his pack. Ming fires at him. The gunfire opens a tear in Neil's chute. Then he takes a bullet in the shoulder, but hangs on as he drops rapidly toward the street below.
I'm coming in! Hot!
Line up with the van. Straight approach.
Novak throws the back door open and spots Neil swooping down toward the crowd. Grabbing the inflatable dragon's tail, Novak traps it in the doors of the van. Neil falls through decorations suspended over the street, short-circuiting the electrical cables. The van pulls the inflatable along the street, and Neil lands safely on the dragon's head. The van pulls away, carrying Neil to safety on the deflated dragon. United Nations Headquarters, New York. Two men emerge from the building, and reporters approach the older man.
Mr. Secretary General, do you have any comment on North Korea's return to the peace negotiations? How were you able to achieve this?
Common sense, patience, mutual respect, and an abiding understanding that there are cultural differences, and we're all going to live with them.
Secretary General Douglas Thomas leaves the UN after a successful return to peace negotiations for North and South Korea.
Great.
Later, he rides with a woman.
I'm going to become another one of those famous Canadian peacekeepers. Not famous. Do you know how many Americans can name the Secretary General of the United Nations? 3%.
Well, that's all about to change because the press adore you and UN support is on the upswing.
And they'll be hell to pay if they ever found out about your tactics.
I know it's unorthodox, but you cannot deny the results.
You know, if this treaty with China could just go through, the United Nations could possibly become a world power. It could. Well, nonetheless, I think we should put a cap on covert operations for the time being.
The woman, Eleanor, gazes out the window of the limo.
How's your fella doing?
He needs a couple months to recover, but he's in good spirits.
How do you give a medal to someone who doesn't exist for something that didn't happen?
Six months later. On an inner city court, Neil shoots baskets and misses. Scooping up the ball, Bly walks toward Neil, smoking a cigarette.
I wouldn't give up your day job.
Well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was the other shoulder.
Shit. I thought you'd quit.
I did. This is my last one.
Neil snatches the cigarette from Bly's lips.
It's a no-smoking court.
Oh, okay.
So what? You come down here to do what? To force me into early retirement?
Well, you know, the thought crossed my mind. But to tell you the truth, I was asked to check up on you.
Madam Hooks wants to find out how I am. Why don't she come down here and see for herself?
Well, you know as well as I do that Madam Hooks doesn't do anything without gathering a little intelligence first.
What do you? You think you're qualified to test me?
Considering your fragile condition, I think I can kick your ass.
Okay. All right, I'm ready.
You ready?
Bly shoots and makes it. He gets another basket.
Come on, you're gonna shoot a dribble. Come on.
Well, what does it matter to you?
Neil gets past him and scores. The game continues. When Neil jumps, Bly blocks and knocks him onto his shoulder.
Oh, god damn it. Are you all right?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, god damn, man, you're bleeding.
This is great.
No, 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 hold on, let me take a look. It's bleeding.
Damn.
Neil's bullet wound has opened up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're gonna need some silk.
Later, at the hospital...
I should do it. Nurse be with you in a minute to finish.
Thank you.
Having stitched up Neil's shoulder, the Chinese physician walks away.
It's a good thing I'm an asshole. Otherwise, I'd feel guilty.
You should.
How is it? Oh, he did a nice job. Those people make good doctors.
Neil looks at Bly.
What?
Neil shakes his head.
Asians, Chinese, you know, they're smart and well-educated.
And what about these people?
He points to himself.
These people have got to stop getting shot on the job.
I can arrange that.
Well, you're too young to retire, so...
Yeah, I'm young, but I ain't dumb.
At the harbor, a cop stretches yellow police tape across the quayside. A stocky man in a sports jacket rips open four packets of sweetener with his teeth and dumps them into his takeout coffee. He stirs the coffee with his finger as a young man approaches him.
Doesn't that burn?
Yes.
Frank,
what do you got?
Frank follows the cop across the quay.
Fucking thing came off a Chinese ferry yesterday. The longshoreman didn't think much of it until the sun came up.
The cop opens the door of a shipping container. Reeling from the stench in the container, the young FBI officer with Frank throws up. The cop opens the door of the container wide, and Frank gazes in at a tangled pile of dead Asians.
Our forensic guy picked this up.
It's a note.
Oh, I don't speak that language, so I wouldn't know what that means.
Translator says it's Vietnamese. Talks about the UN moving them from some refugee camp in Hong Kong, looking for a new life in America.
Hong Kong refugees.
Ray, call Amnesty. See if they can trace these to the ones that disappeared last month.
Yeah, sure, Chief.
Frank pulls out his handkerchief.
Thanks.
Ray holds it to his nose.
That's quite a statement, if that's what they wanted to make.
Guys?
You think it has something to do with the big Chinese conference in town?
Frank thinks about it. Then he walks away, leaving Ray with his handkerchief.
Yeah, 10-6.
At the UN Security Council.
Sure, under UN supervision.
The fact remains that although these refugees were housed in Hong Kong, they were under the supervision of UN officers.
仅三例之外，就有这个sweatshop.
You talk of human rights. 3 miles from here, sweatshops.
A mile from here, homeless people living in doorways. Yet you lecture my country.
Someone's watching on a security monitor.
On our human rights record.
It's Eleanor.
Chinese Ambassador Yan Se-Wu.
Eleanor switches off the audio.
In 2 days, China signs a UN trade agreement ending 50 years of isolation. Not only culturally, but commercially. Opening the door to 1.5 billion new consumers.
In disguise, Neil nods.
And you think Ambassador Wu is connected to the dead refugees from the boat?
I have my suspicions. Before becoming UN ambassador, he was responsible for refugee resettlement.
Eleanor calls up photographs on her computer monitor.
Here he is meeting with a group of gentlemen tied to various triad concerns.
Human smugglers. Slave traders.
Exactly. My instinct tells me something is lurking under the surface.
You always think something is lurking under the surface.
Tonight, David Chan is hosting a banquet honoring Ambassador Wu.
You want me to put a wire on Wu?
If you're ready. How's the shoulder?
Technically, fucked up.
There she is. Eleanor! Here. I've been looking for you everywhere. I don't believe we've met.
Douglas offers Neil his hand.
We still haven't, sir.
Yes, of course. Would you excuse us, please?
Eleanor steps into Douglas's office.
We've been watching the Security Council. He was going nuts in there.
Yes, I saw.
Are you going to do something about it?
Oh, he's been briefed. We're moving forward.
Later.
I'm guessing that Thomas is not a fan.
On the contrary. With the achievements of last year and the Chinese trade agreement on the horizon, thanks to you, one of the many reasons I can't let you quit.
Look, Eleanor, I'm not one to complain. But in the last 2 years, I've been shot twice, I got 6 broken bones, and I don't even have a health plan.
You know we are owed billions in dues payments. Every UN staff member has taken cutbacks.
Yeah, so maybe I should make a move before I get cut back. Permanently. Find a career.
Career? Like what? CIA? NSA? There's no guarantee.
From the mezzanine, someone photographs Neil and Eleanor.
McDonald's. Yeah, I'm gonna own one. Yeah.
Shaw.
Yeah, maybe 2. Listen to me. Governments, they come, they go, but the McDonald's, they last forever.
All right, your point is taken. But right now, we have a situation that is rapidly deteriorating into a political time bomb.
No parachutes, no submachine guns, just a simple eavesdrop, right?
Walk in the park.
This is New York City, baby. Simple walk in the park can get you killed.
There's a demonstration outside Manhattan's Jade Park Hotel. The UN translator, a young Asian woman dressed in a halter top and wearing chopsticks in her hair, walks through the crowd.
Tenement and dead refugees arrived on our shores like cattle. Stop the UN deal! Support human rights in China!
The young woman pushes through the crowd toward the hotel entrance.
But this deal's about trade and expensive freedom!
The magnificent hotel recently purchased by Chinese business mogul David Chan is alive with diplomats who are welcoming China into the world trade arena.
Inside the hotel lobby...
I didn't like it. Let's try another one. Let's try this one.
The translator, Julia, takes an identity badge from her bag and clips it on, then runs for an elevator.
Wait! Hold it!
Sorry.
On the elevator, she finds Neil standing behind her.
Your microphone is poking into me.
No, actually, it's not.
I'm just messing with you.
She checks out his ID.
Greg, UN reporter, huh? Couldn't get a real job.
Bly follows Neil out of the elevator.
Smooth.
Hotel staff are setting up banquet tables in the ballroom. Security officers allow Neil and Bly into the room in their guise as a news team. Bly carries a video camera and a tripod. In a translation booth overlooking the ballroom,
hey.
Julia greets Anna, another translator, with a hug and a kiss. Julia looks over the crowd below, then removes the chopsticks from her hair. How do you do it, Anna asks. Do what? Get away with your attitude.
Your free spirit. I don't know how you do it.
Well, first, move from a society that discourages individualism. Then move to a city that embraces it for 3 years. It's easy.
She slips on a jacket and clips her ID to it.
I'll take the first shift on the floor.
Sure.
Guests mill about on the floor of the ballroom, where Neil is conducting an interview.
A lot of American companies would love unrestricted access to China.
Well, we see this as a major shift in the economic powers.
There are obviously two sides to consider, particularly when the Chinese is concerned.
Well, that sounds very prudent of you, actually.
The ambassador's been here about a week.
You couldn't be more correct.
A small crowd has gathered around Ambassador Wu. Julia translates for him. Heads turn as David Chan enters the room. Neil watches Chan shake hands with Douglas and Eleanor. A waitress spills wine on Ambassador Wu. As she wipes it off, she slips a tiny bugging device under his lapel before walking away. The waitress is Novak in disguise. Setting her wine bottle down on a side table, she steps behind a curtain where she switches on the recording device stuffed into the top of her stocking.
We on the air.
Novak's wrist microphone transmits to Neil's earpiece. As she returns to the ballroom, Chan's security chief Ming looks her over carefully.
He's complaining about the menu. Seems he's not a fan of Sichuan cuisine, and somebody should have known that.
What? He doesn't like the pickled pig knuckles? No.
Chan steps up to the microphone at the head table.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your warm welcome and your presence here this evening. China and the West began their history together.
Neil notices Julia leaving the ballroom.
It is trade that brings us all together tonight.
And follows her out.
And it is trade that will bind us and unite us for years to come. This agreement brings to fruition years of hard work by leaders on both sides, driven by a belief.
Climbing the staircase to the mezzanine, Neil spots Julia in a corridor, drinking coffee with a female colleague. He walks away from them.
Marco Polo would be proud to know that we go to the next
level. In the translation booth,
要是 Marco Polo 知道他该唱的事业，在这里正走下。
Open the door to the 21st century and announce that yes, China wants to become a member of the club.
Neil walks to the edge of the mezzanine and stands looking out over the railing at the scene below.
With the signing of the UN trade agreement, 1.5 billion Chinese will have access to the world markets that will...
There will be no future...
A demonstrator bursts in, but is grabbed by security.
Hey, check him out. I'm there already.
Bly leaves his camera to follow the protester.
Well, you make that 1.4, 999 billion. Without any further delay, here he is, the architect of China's future, Ambassador Jiang Ziwu.
Ambassador Wu leans close to Chan.
What's he saying to Chan?
The level is too low. He's blocking the bug.
Come on, I gotta know.
It's recording. I'll leave the tape once we're done.
Go away.
Ladies and gentlemen, representatives of the UN and the G8. In the translation booth.
Today, I'm very happy to participate in this party.
An elevator door closes behind Neil.
I'm honored to open the door of China to the world.
An intruder slips a wire garrote around Anna's neck while a second loads a bullet in a rifle. The hooded gunman steps over to the window and fires. Ambassador Wu goes down and Chan tumbles from his chair. As Neil races down the corridor, the gunman steps onto a balcony and drops a stun grenade in the ballroom. Julia hurries along the corridor and Novak slips away as the crowd rushes for the exits. Novak ejects a mini disc from her recorder.
I got him. Black tracksuit. Bly.
Novak, get in there!
Copy. I'm gone.
Moving to the seventh floor.
Neil runs past Julia, who hurries into the translation booth. Down in the ballroom, Chan has a shoulder wound, but Ambassador Wu's glazed eyes stare vacantly beneath the bullet hole in the center of his forehead. On the seventh floor.
Emergency exit, west side.
Copy that, mobile.
Come off outside.
I'm on it.
Sprinting after the gunman, Neil bursts out onto the narrow terrace surrounding the building. In the pouring rain, the gunman leaps off the terrace. He lands on a car and rolls to his feet.
Parking structure. Oh, no, you don't.
I'm street level, moving to you. Who fucks that fucker?
Neil leaps off the terrace, lands on another car and slides to the pavement. As the gunman darts toward a doorway, Neil leaps a railing in time to see him disappear into a building. Inside, the gunman slips on the slick floor, then crashes into a woman and runs into a washroom. Neil bursts into the washroom. Then he runs back out onto the roof. Spotting the gunman trying to open a gate at the other end of the roof, he runs toward him. Neil ducks for cover as the gunman fires. As Neil moves forward, the gunman leaps down through a skylight. Neil jumps after him and finds himself in a dry cleaning plant.
Check in. What's the situation? Shots! Head outside!
Neil ducks a bullet on the fire escape, then trades shots with the gunman.
Coming to you.
Okay. Neil slides down the fire escape.
Is it headed for the street?
As the gunman runs into the street, Neil dashes after him. The gunman slides across the hood of a car and into another building. Neil knocks a cyclist down in traffic.
Damn! 77!
Neil jumps over the cyclist and drags him to safety, then continues the chase.
Okay, mid-block! Construction site! Location. Location.
72. Neil walks across the floor of the construction site.
You got him? He should be right in front of you.
Megan!
Megan! Lie!
Wait, I got him!
I can't hear you.
I got the mark!
Lie!
Neil bursts into the street.
Freeze! Drop your weapon!
He's surrounded by cops.
I said drop your weapon! Drop it! Drop it now! Drop it now!
Neil drops his gun.
Put your hands behind your head! Hands behind your head! Get on your knees! On your knees!
Neil obeys. As an officer cuffs him, he remembers what he heard.
Lie! Lie!
Sean, help me! Sean!
Neil sits alone at a table in an interrogation room. He runs his hands across the bottom of the tabletop. Then he gets up and walks around the room. Neil scans the room carefully for hidden microphones and cameras. On the other side of a one-way mirror, Julia watches him. Frank is with her. Neil stares at the mirror. Neil slaps the mirror and Julia knocks Frank's coffee.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're Julia Fang, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm Franklin Capella, special agent with the FBI. You mind if we chat?
Later.
Being moved to a five-star accommodation, courtesy of the FBI.
You got the wrong man.
How many jokers you think we snatched sprinting along 76th Street with a 9mm?
Including me.
Maybe we should just hand you over to the Chinese. Let them kung fu your ass.
The officer shackles Neil's wrists.
It's not him.
Well, thank you very much, miss. We'll find you if we need you.
A van drives into the night from the 21st Precinct garage and along the rain-slick streets. His ankle shackled to a ring in the floor, Neil sits in the back. Up front, Frank holds up a Ziploc bag.
Ceramic gun. Clears metal detector nicely. UN credentials. Too difficult to fake. High-tech communication gear, almost government issue, which means we shop at the same store, but only you have a higher limit on your credit card, which makes sense for a CIA officer? Army intel? Foreign government. Just feel free to chime in at any point. I'll just keep on talking. The point is, Greg, that we have dead Chinese refugees and we have a dead Chinese ambassador, and I don't need a fortune cookie to tell me that someone wants to put the kibosh on the Chinese trade agreement type deal.
Neil stares at him noncommittally. Driving through a park, they find their way blocked by a horse and carriage.
What's going on?
Frank spots the coachman riding away on the horse.
Go!
Frank's driver steps on the gas, but the carriage explodes and the blast rolls the van over like a toy. A powerful SUV roars over a hill and speeds toward the overturned van, where Neil lies unconscious. The SUV slides to a halt and a man gets out. Crouching beside the van, he pumps two rounds into Frank's chest. A second man opens the van's back doors. The gunman shoots the police guard as his partner unhooks Neil's shackles from the van. Dragging Neil to the SUV, they speed off into the night. Frank crawls out onto the grass.
Too fucking old for this.
Frank rips his shirt open and gazes gratefully at his bulletproof vest. At dawn, traffic crawls across the East River via the Manhattan Bridge. The SUV crosses the bridge to Brooklyn. Just one more vehicle in the morning commute. Inside the SUV, four Asian thugs remove their ski masks. Neil is slumped in the back seat between two of the men. The man placing the cell phone call has a Chinese triad tattoo on his shaved scalp. We got the package, he reports. Make sure you get prints, Ming replies. I want him to disappear. No dental records. Removing the magazine from his assault rifle, one of the men in the back ejects the bullets from the clip. The driver pulls into an industrial area and drives through a warehouse complex. The SUV follows a flatbed truck along the road. Steering with his elbows, the truck driver snorts cocaine from the blade of his pocket knife. In the back of the SUV, the gunman loads the empty magazine back into his rifle. The driver pulls alongside the truck. As the gunman lays the rifle across Neil's lap, the SUV passes the truck. The thug wraps Neil's hands around the gun to get his fingerprints on the weapon. Neil seizes the weapon. He drives the muzzle into the gunman's throat and slams the butt into the other man's skull. He shoots the driver in the head and clubs the tattooed man. The dead driver's foot pins the accelerator to the floor, and Neil leans over the front seat to grab the wheel. The SUV slides along a guardrail, sending up a shower of sparks. Neil shoots out a side window. Then shoots the chain shackling his legs. As he grabs the steering wheel again, the truck pulls alongside. Neil slams the SUV into the side of the truck. As he begins to crawl out the window, the tattooed man comes too. Neil leaps for the truck and hangs on just as the tattooed man steers the SUV away, leaving Neil dangling from the trucker's load of sewer pipe. Hanging onto the side of the truck, Neil struggles to climb up onto the pipes, but one of his shackle chains is caught in the load. The tattooed man accelerates hard, trying to catch up to the truck. As the SUV veers toward the truck, Neil hauls himself up onto the load, and the SUV pulls away. The tattooed man tries again, but Neil scrambles out of the way, then falls on the SUV's hood.
God damn it!
As the trucker struggles not to spill his cocaine, Neil scrambles up the side of the load. When the SUV slams into the truck again, Neil kicks out the driver's window, forcing the tattooed man to veer off. As the two vehicles race on side by side, Neil finally pulls himself up onto the load, out of harm's way. Neil points ahead, but the tattooed man ignores him. The SUV crashes into a massive forklift, and the flatbed carries Neil away.
Tensions flared with news of the ambassador's assassination. Meanwhile, in an unusual move, the FBI is withholding the identity of the assassin who fled captivity last night in a daring escape.
In Eleanor's office.
You check your email?
I'll have to call you back.
Give me the phone.
Is everything all right?
Listen. Transfer the call. We're both here now.
The UN is running a secret unit that assassinated China's ambassador to the United Nations. This will be the news story of the week and will damage the UN permanently.
Unless?
Unless the Chinese trade agreement dies on the table.
We don't have the power to kill it. Others do, we don't.
Nevertheless, you have 24 hours.
Kill the treaty, why? Who stands to gain by that?
Eleanor's computer monitor zeroes in on the photo of Neil and Eleanor.
It's the way we would have done it.
What are you talking about?
The blackmail. Our own techniques being used against us.
Your techniques, Eleanor? I told you this was going to come back to haunt us. There is no free lunch. You have to pay the piper. Now, I want everything to stop immediately. I don't want anything to happen without my consultation and my permission.
Mr. Secretary, I must insist...
No. You listen to me, Eleanor. Who is this man?
On the TV news...
The assassination of Chinese Ambassador Wu could not have come at a worse time for U.S.-China relations. UN representatives have expressed concern that the incident could delay the Chinese trade agreement, but others fear more permanent damage to relations between the two countries. Businessman David Chan is recovering at a downtown hospital. His doctors made a brief statement a few hours ago.
Mr. Chan is resting.
It's the doctor who stitched up Neil's shoulder.
The bullet was removed from his arm without complication.
In her studio apartment, Novak recalls the night of the party when Ambassador Wu whispered into Chan's ear. Novak copies the conversation onto a floppy disk. Tucking the original mini disk into the waistband of her pants, she pulls the floppy disk from her laptop, carries it to her desktop machine, and inserts it. Novak's cat crosses her desk, walking over advertisements for a lost cat. As Novak logs onto the internet, the cat crawls onto a windowsill.
Wagner?
Novak opens the window and lets the cat out.
Hey, baby.
A triad gunman has grabbed Novak by the hair.
I think you've got something for me.
A second man carrying a motorcycle helmet follows the gunman inside. Closing the drapes, the motorcyclist puts down his helmet and checks out Novak's computer equipment. Then he cranks up the volume on her sound system. The gunman spins Novak around the floor, then flings her across the room. Meanwhile, at the crash site...
Same caliber that took out Ambassador Wu.
Yeah, I'm sure Greg Brogan's prints are on it. So, our boy gets rescued by these triad assholes, punctures one of them in the melon, and renders the others into Chinese salsa.
Frank ponders.
Do you ever watch wrestling, Ray?
Sure. I mean, you know, now and then.
Because this is just like wrestling.
How?
Well, it's reality mixed with illusion, mixed with bullshit, mixed with big, scary guys from parts unknown in dire need of psychiatric care.
Frank leaves Ray at the crash site. Across town, Neil loiters by an outdoor basketball court. Kicking at the litter beneath a chain-link fence, he stoops and picks up a length of broken wire. Then he begins to pick the locks on the handcuffs shackling his wrists together. The noise from a converted warehouse across the street attracts Neil's attention. Moments later, he dashes up the staircase to Novak's apartment, the chain from his shackles wrapped around one wrist. Crouched in the hallway, Neil opens the door. As Neil steps inside, the gunman whirls and fires at him. Standing over Novak, the gunman points his weapon at the battered woman. As Neil peers around the door jamb, the gunman fires into Novak's chest. Neil sprints across the room and dives behind an upright piano. Using the piano as a shield, he flips his chains around the gunman's wrist. Punching the man, he hauls him over the piano. Neil rolls the man face down on the floor, disarms him, and sits on his back, pointing the gun at his head. Neil looks across at Novak as she dies. Then he fires into the gunman's skull. Crouching beside Novak, Neil checks her neck for a pulse, but there is none. Tenderly, he caresses her hair. Walking past the piano, he fires another round into Novak's killer. Spotting the blood-stained, spider-webbed cracks in the mirrored wall of the apartment, he imagines Novak's skull slamming into the glass.
Have it your way.
From the cracks of shattered glass, Neil pieces together Novak's last moments with her killer. As he walks along the wall of mirrors, he imagines Novak fighting back. Neil imagines the killer slamming Novak's forehead into the mirror and Novak falling to the floor in a shower of glass. He sees her crawling across the floor. In Neil's mind, the killer crouches over her, his gun at her throat. He sees Novak pull the mini-disc from her pants and hand it over.
Thank you.
He sees the killer hand the disc to his accomplice, who runs from the apartment with it.
Now.
He sees Novak trembling at gunpoint. Neil hammers the mirrored wall with the killer's gun, revealing Novak's weapons cache. He takes a handheld computer. Grabbing a pistol, he stuffs it in his belt, then takes a cell phone and a pair of handcuffs. Remembering the dial tones from the phone call the tattooed man plays, he dials the same number. Neil examines an empty floppy disk holder, then pulls a copy of the lost CAD ad from Novak's printer. Circling selected letters from the ad, he enters them as a web address on the handheld computer. The website contains an audio file of Ambassador Wu's conversation with Chan. While he downloads the file, Neil sits on Novak's terrace, gazing out at the trees. A motorcycle sits parked on the terrace beside him. Is lost in thought.
The level is too low, and he's blocking the bug.
Neil closes his eyes.
It's good to see you too.
He remembers Bly on the basketball court. Neil plays the audio file. Down in the street, a police car races toward the building. Neil speeds away on the motorcycle. A newspaper headline reads, "Interpreter witness says escape man, not killer."
Miss Fang, why is it the police still believe the man you saw was a killer when you said he was not? Would you comment on rumors linking you with the suspect romantically?
Julia ignores the reporters and waves down a taxi. Neil follows the cab. Later, Julia gets out of the taxi. She walks into the entrance of St. Julian's Hospital.
Oh, Miss Fang. May I have a word with you?
No. Don't you have a certain fugitive to apprehend?
No. I just want to talk to you for a second.
Frank takes her wrist.
This is harassment.
I'm just trying to protect you, ma'am.
From who?
Our fugitive friend is mixed up with the triads. You know what that means.
My best friend is dying up there. If you want to help, find the person who tried to choke the life out of her.
Okay. If you want to call me, there's my card. Fuck.
Julia walks along a hospital corridor past two cops. She peers into a room and finds Anna's mother at Anna's bedside. Julia walks in. Anna lies unconscious, breathing through an oxygen tube in her nose. Julia remembers the scene in the translation booth. She taps Anna's mother on the back. And the old woman turns to her, grief-stricken. Julia hugs her. I'm sorry I'm late, she says. I came as soon as I got your message. What message? Asks the old woman. Julia thinks. What's the matter, Julia? The old woman asks. Wait here, Julia tells her. Out in the corridor, Julia spots two doctors turning a corner. At the nursing station, she sees a nurse on the phone. Julia moves on. In the next corridor, she notices a man leaving an office. He glances at her and walks away. Julia hurries back to Anna's room to find the old woman slumped across her daughter and bleeding from a head wound.
Lay tight.
Neil pulls Julia out of the line of fire and shoots back at an Asian woman wearing a lab coat. Taking cover in the washroom, Neil and Julia duck out of sight as the assassin bursts through the door. Neil kicks the gun out of her hand and snaps her neck. Julia stands behind him, terrified. Dropping the assassin's corpse, Neil turns to find himself staring down the muzzle of his own gun. He gently takes it from Julia's hand.
Go.
As a young couple hurries toward the emergency entrance, Neil and Julia slip down a fire escape.
Go. Come on. In the car. Come on. Go. Move over.
Neil slips behind the wheel of the young couple's Camaro. Neil drives the Camaro out into the rain. A police car pulls up behind them, its lights flashing.
Not a word.
Traffic is moving slowly, and the cop pulls out and passes Neil. Forcing his way through the line of cars, the cop pulls to the curb. As Neil slides his gun under his thigh, the cop gets out to deal with an incident on the sidewalk. Neil creeps along slowly, but traffic stops him right beside the cop.
Not a word.
Neil drives on. Julie appears at him fearfully from the corner of her eyes. Later, Neil backs the Camaro along a service road and beneath an overpass. The heavy rain has flooded the underpass, and Neil parks the car in several inches of water. Neil leans back wearily against the headrest. Beside him, Julia weeps.
Who do you work for? Who do you work for?
His eyes closed. Neil ignores her.
Are we just going to sit here?
Julia anxiously cracks her knuckles.
Please stop that.
No.
Neil looks over at her.
No.
Julia glares at him.
I've got you figured out.
Oh, you do, huh?
You think I don't see that you're scared as I am? That the only reason you won't tell me what the fuck is going on is that you don't know yourself.
Okay, all right, that's enough. Okay? All right?
Neil takes out the handheld computer and brings up Novak's site.
So what are you, some kind of government agent?
Translate this for me, and you go free.
Free? Free to go where?
Neil just stares at her.
All right. Play it again. This is Ambassador Wu.
Yes.
He's saying that the dead refugees were a deliberate action to derail the trade agreement. And he knows who is responsible. Who is he talking to?
Back at Novak's.
He got here too late. She was already dead. So he took it out on the triad stiff.
Jana Novak. Her passport is Czech. Her file came up blank. Same as our guy, same dead end. Weird, same.
Weird.
Phone records you asked for. There's definitely a pattern showing up here.
I mean, other than half a dozen dead bodies.
Well, yeah, look. Phone numbers in sequence. 555-3901, 555-3902, 55920.
All right, what you gotta do is you gotta go all the way up to 99, isolate the possibles, stake out all the locations, wait for our guy to show up. Bob's your uncle.
That's a good plan, but who's Bob?
He's your uncle.
In the Camaro, Neil dials 555-3975. Julia dozes beside him. Neil slowly looks over Julia as she leans against the door, asleep.
This better be a fucking emergency. Hello? Who is this?
Neil breaks the connection. Beneath a slate-gray sky, the Statue of Liberty keeps watch over the city.
We are unable to complete your call as dialed. Please check the number and dial again.
For
Protests like this one at the U.S. Embassy in Beijing are causing many to believe that the U.N. trade agreement will dissolve before it ever starts.
On his handheld, Neil switches video files.
Secretary General Douglas Thomas to find a peaceful solution to the strained relations between the countries.
Neil turns off his handheld and starts the car, waking up Julia. Then he drives out of the underpass.
You have a monumental crisis emerging, Mr. Secretary General.
I'm convinced that there's only one man in the whole world who can compel those fellas in Beijing to stick with their agreement. And that man is you, David.
Douglas and Chan join Eleanor at a table on the terrace of the Jade Park Manhattan.
I don't know if you're trying to flatter me or frighten me, sir.
I think what the Secretary General is suggesting is that you can remind all parties involved that, as history has shown, economic prosperity does wonders at keeping the peace.
Excuse me, Madam Hooks, I miss CNN today. Is there a war going on that I'm unaware of?
There's always a war going on, David. There's your side, there's their side, and there's me stuck in the middle trying to make it look like it's peace.
The Secretary General spoke to the President this morning, and if the situation does not improve, he's prepared to fly in from Washington tomorrow and attend the ceremony himself as a show of support for the agreement.
It's a last resort. I don't want it to happen. I want this to be a United Nations initiative, but more than anything else, I want it to work. And I'm afraid that as things stand now, without the President's presence, it can't work.
Don't bring in the President. It'll only complicate things.
And in the meantime, we were hoping that you wouldn't mind acting as interim diplomat.
An ambassador of goodwill, if you will.
I'd be honored to help. And allow you to take the headlines. Secretary General saves China trade agreement.
Excuse me.
Eleanor steps away from the table to answer her phone.
Eleanor Hooks, you posted a missing cat?
Neil glances over at Julia.
Yes? Yes, I did. You found him healthy?
Yes.
You're going to need to keep him for a few days. Is that a problem?
No problem.
I know where to reach you.
On a Manhattan side street, a street cleaning truck passes a homeless man on the sidewalk. The homeless man crosses the street in front of a taxi. Neil avoids the homeless man as he pulls over to the curb.
Internet chat rooms, though, they're a free-for-all. You just have to know where to go.
Neil uses his handheld to log into the Lost Cat chat room and leave a message.
Triads. Killed Wu. Framed. Me.
The reply.
Possible more. Department. Hold. Communications. And expect cover to be compromised within 24 hours. Stay under radar. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
You work for the UN, don't you? Jesus, you do.
Okay, I want you to go in there and I want you to buy some bottled water and some food that we'll keep. And when you come out, there's one more thing that I want you to do for me.
One more thing? It must be nice for you to assume that I will bend over whenever you please.
It's
bend over backwards is what I meant. Thank you.
Trusting you.
As Julia strides across the street, Neil picks up his cell phone. Julia slips on the curb.
Oops.
Julia walks to a diner, and Neil watches her through a miniature digital telescope as she enters.
Excuse me.
Hello?
Is Marie there?
No, Marie here.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, wrong number.
Payphone?
The waitress points to the back of the diner. As Neil dials another number, Julia glances over her shoulder at him. Neil notices an old Cadillac with Florida plates pulled to the curb. Julia walks toward the payphone. An elderly couple gets out of the Cadillac.
Hi, Lucky Bakery.
Bingo.
The Florida tourists enter the diner. Julia has Frank's business card in her hand as she dials the phone.
Oh, great.
An Asian youth exits the washroom. He walks briskly through the diner and out the door. Neil replays the scene in his mind. In the replay, he sees the youth place something on the counter before walking out of the diner. Neil fastens his seatbelt and starts the car. Neil rockets through a pile of garbage and over the sidewalk as he launches the car through the front door of the diner. Ripping through the electrical system, the Camaro sends up a shower of sparks as it plows into the counter and scatters the diner's customers. Neil leaps out of the car, knocks a man aside, and picks up a knapsack. Jamming the knapsack onto the Camaro's gas pedal, he slams the gear shift into reverse. The car burns rubber as it backs out of the diner.
Everyone down!
The Camaro explodes. As the blast hits the diner's windows, the Florida tourists drop their car keys. An orange fireball rises over the street. Neil scoops up the tourist's keys, then he and Julia flee the scene in the Cadillac.
Get undressed.
Excuse me?
Strip. All your clothes off. Now.
You think I'm...
Now! Take your clothes off, now!
Oh, you think I'm gonna get undressed for you?
You're bugged! There's a transmitter in your clothing somewhere.
A transmitter? How?
I don't know how, but how do you think they tracked us to the diner, huh? Just think about it. They went after you in there, not me. Take them off.
Angrily, Julia shrugs her bag off her shoulder. Neil searches the bag, and Julia removes her jacket and tosses it out the window. As she tears off her pants, Neil examines Frank's business card. The pants go out the window, followed by her top. Julia yells, "Asshole, I hope you rot in shit for eternity."
What was that?
You said I was free to go.
Oh, you want to go? Okay.
Pulling over to the side of the road, Neil reaches into the back seat.
Here, go. See ya.
Julia throws the shirt out the window and covers her breasts with her arms.
Thought so.
He drives on.
Glasses. Watch.
Julia throws them away. Later, Neil opens the Cadillac's trunk and rummages through the tourist's luggage. Julia rolls down her window.
Best I could do.
Neil hands her some clothes. Leaving Julia to dress in privacy, Neil walks around the overpass they are parked beneath, thinking.
You're not used to this, are you? Not having control of the situation, being manipulated. You're normally on the other side of the equation.
What, are you just stating the obvious for your own personal enjoyment, or are you moonlighting as a psychic friend?
If I help you, it will follow that I help myself.
Okay. Well, then help yourself by telling me about Ambassador Wu. You said you worked for him for a long time.
Julia crawls up in the seat to sit in the open window.
Ambassador Wu was an outsider. He knew China's future lay in economic growth. But the party line was to give a separation with the West. He believed that the gulf could be crossed.
What gulf?
I'm talking about appearances and meaning. Frankly, I thought you'd be more sensitive to this concept.
Later, they cruise the streets of Chinatown.
Who are you calling?
Tell me. Okay. It's a front. For what?
This is an athletic club.
two Asians walk into the low-key bakery.
A private gentleman's club for gambling and...
And?
And tax.
Neil pulls into the alley behind the club, where a truck is making a delivery.
Hey, where's one of the moron brothers here? Come on, where are you guys?
Right, my clients are waiting. It's a...
Okay.
Neil opens a small box.
You'll be able to hear me with this.
Gently, he mounts a miniature receiver in Julia's ear.
And you'll be able to talk to me. With this.
He clips a tiny microphone under her shirt.
I need your help. Help me find what I'm looking for, okay?
He handcuffs her to the steering wheel.
What are you doing?
I don't have time to worry about another thing, okay?
Where would I go?
I don't know. Someplace I obviously haven't thought of.
Neil takes off his jacket and shirt. Bare-armed in a black undershirt, he walks over to the tailgate of the delivery truck and hoists a crate onto his shoulder.
Can you tell me why my helping you is conditional on being a prisoner?
You're not a prisoner. I'm protecting you from yourself.
Neil carries his load into the basement of the club. Pausing in the kitchen, he spots a topless waitress through an open doorway. Then he walks down a staircase into the sub-basement. In the car, Julia tries on a pair of glasses from the glove compartment. In the sub-basement, Neil drops the crate on a stack and retraces his route. Outside, Julia settles down into the seat. Neil creeps up another staircase toward the club. Peering through a fretwork grill, he sees two topless women dancing together on a stage. A woman sitting on a customer's lap slips her robe off, exposing her breasts. The two women on stage move together erotically.
One of these days, you're gonna have to tell me how you know about this place. Julia. Julia. You awake?
I'm awake. It's just in a different place.
Can't we stick to the present?
You know, I read a book once about these prisoners of war who construct the house of their dreams in their head to keep their sanity.
Yeah, sanity. I thought you lost that a long time ago.
Right now, I'm sitting at a cafe in a small village in the south of France.
A police car peels along the street.
There's a familiar face.
As Neil watches Ming walk through the club, an NYPD van pulls up outside.
Shadow's cops pulling up everywhere.
A SWAT team runs toward the building.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah. Party's over.
The SWAT team enters the loading dock and bursts into the club. Neil returns to the sub-basement. Neil looks up another staircase, but there are cops on that floor, and he moves on. He walks past a kid dubbing porn videos, then hangs back. An FBI agent enters the room. The kid looks over at him, but the agent ignores him. agent enters the adjacent room to find Asians toiling at rows of sewing machines. The agent draws his gun as he moves through the sweatshop. A flashlight in one hand and his gun in the other, the agent edges toward the back of the room. Outside, Julia looks up to find Frank smiling at her. Showing him the handcuffs, she opens the car door.
Did you need any help with those?
Inside.
We have a full license.
Oh, you've got a fucking license.
Well, we'll just be on our way then.
You're in way over your head, boy. You see, we have an understanding with the police.
Well, now you have an understanding with the FBI.
Ming stares Ray down.
I said assume the fucking position.
Wearing an FBI jacket, Neil slams the suspect's face into a pan of noodles and twists his arm behind his back.
Give me those. Get up the stairs with your bitch ass.
Neil marches the suspect out of the kitchen.
All right, let's get the names and get him out of here. Come on.
Neil sees Frank.
You know, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the good guys and the bad guys. It's not always obvious.
Oh, excuse me, miss. Is this man bothering you?
Steel. Left hand. Nice and slow.
All right.
Step back. Not exactly FBI waste regulation, is it?
I'm on probation.
Frank surrenders his gun.
Okay, Capella. Why don't you ask her? Ask her who the bad guys are and if she wants to walk away with you.
Look, we're both after the same thing. Why can't we work together on this?
Because your idea of cooperation is me in a cell. I don't particularly like that.
Just after the truth.
Well, why don't you check out the Vietnamese refugees underneath the bakery? My guess is that they're linked to the dead ones you found in the container. You can be a hero. Huh? I don't think there's a waive requirement for Attorney General, do you?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Neil gets behind the wheel.
Oh, Capella.
Yeah.
As Neil returns Frank's gun, he ejects the magazine.
Thank you.
Backing away, Neil holds up the bullet he removed from the chamber of Frank's gun.
That club stinks of David Chan.
Later.
He's in bed with the triads and definitely linked to the refugees. But I need proof that he took out Wu to kill the trade agreement.
I'm not so sure about your theory. I mean, David Chan was supporting the trade initiative.
Appeared to be. But ask yourself this. Who benefits the most from Wu's death?
Besides Mrs. Wu?
If the trade agreement is signed tomorrow, then Chan's business monopoly would be over. He'd have to compete with the Western companies, kill Wu and the UN trade agreement with him. Chan keeps China to himself.
Julia's in an internet cafe.
You make a lot of sense. For a car thief.
Okay, just relax.
Okay, ready.
I'm gonna log on to the main website. Then you're gonna follow the instructions I gave you.
From the car, Neil watches Julia through his digital telescope.
Wait, the access is denied.
Okay, simultaneously press Control Alternate F8 twice. / Enter.
Password and login ID.
Don't worry about it, you don't need it. Just follow the last lines of codes on the page.
Department of Defense?
Julia,
don't
look.
Tell me. I don't want to know.
It's just a little trick I picked up from some friends
right.
I used to train with.
Do they train you to be this vague? Was it a gift?
And what's that supposed to mean?
You know what I mean. I mean your evasiveness.
Comes with the territory.
Well, the strong, silent type cliche thing is becoming tiresome. Okay, we're in.
Julia runs video of Ambassador Wu's speech, and Neil watches it through his telescope.
Okay. Whoa, wait a minute. Wait, stop.
What?
Rewind. Play it again.
The bullet hits Wu.
All right, let's go frame by frame. And look very carefully.
Chan's looking before the shot was fired.
Chan goes down too.
I don't believe it. He knew.
He knew that it was coming? More like he made it happen.
All right, make a copy and get back to the car.
At the UN...
24 hours are nearly up.
Eleanor stares out a window.
I'm putting the trade deal in the president's hands. I'm going to let him run with it.
Bringing the president in, sir, seriously undermined your authority. Your strength is what will keep the UN strong. I'm using all my sources. If anything should leak out, I can kill it. I feel certain you can keep this deal together and avoid a scandal.
Thank you, Eleanor. Thank you, but no.
On the radio...
Reports are coming in that Secretary General Douglas Thomas has asked the President of the United States to intervene and solidify the Chinese trade agreement before it collapses. The President and the Secretary General will address the General Assembly tomorrow and attend the signing ceremony at the UN.
If Chan is serious about killing this deal, that's where he'll make his next move. All right. I want you to take the videotape and the Moo's recording to Eleanor Hooks. She'll be able to get it to the right people without bringing me into it. Meanwhile, I'll provide the final piece to this puzzle. Finish this once and for all.
Where are you going?
The last place I should.
Later at UN headquarters...
Yes, I will. I'm sorry, Miss Hooks is quite busy. I hope you don't mind waiting.
Hours pass as Julia waits to see Eleanor. Ming walks across the terrace at the Jade Park Manhattan, where Chan sits at a table drinking tea. So, Shaw was at the club today, says Chan. Nearby, Neil detonates a bomb attached to an electrical breaker panel, plunging the hotel into darkness. Check the hotel, says Chan, and Ming deploys his guards. Chan walks over to the railing and looks out over the city. He turns to find Neil rappelling down a rope to the terrace. He aims his gun at Chan.
Happy New Year.
Back at the UN, Julia is still waiting to see Eleanor.
Tim. She's ready to see you now.
Meanwhile...
Do you always exhibit such flair at entrances and exits, or is it just when visiting my hotels, Mr. Shaw?
Well, actually, I find them rather inviting. Kind of like a second home, you know?
As my most effective asset in the field, I'm almost embarrassed that you're not on my payroll.
Well, maybe you'd like to make me an offer I can't refuse.
I would, but I'm afraid you would never get to enjoy the rewards.
Well... guess this is my reward.
Neil grabs Chan's arm and twists it behind his back.
Excellent, actually. Assassinate the man that's been tracking you. And at the same time, blow apart a trade agreement that could cost you billions. Now, I know that nothing is what it seems. But I'm dying for you to explain this.
As Neil exposes Chan's unharmed shoulder, a bullet rips into it. A second shot takes Chan to the ground. As the hooded gunman fires at him, Neil ducks. The gunman drops his rifle and flees, and Neil takes off after him. Dropping to the terrace one level down, the gunman rolls to his feet and runs. Neil fires as he drops down after him and resumes the chase. David Chan lies dead on his terrace. Eleanor switches off the video file.
If this information were to get out, the scandal could seriously damage China's credibility on the world stage. Do more harm than good.
I never thought of that.
Appearances are everything, Miss Fang. Politics and deception are built on it.
Back at the hotel, Neil sprints after the gunman. Glancing out through the railing, he remembers the earlier chase and the gunman leaping down to the parking level. But as he leans over the railing, the gunman fires up at him, forcing him back. Then the gunman makes his jump. Neil fires and misses. As the gunman disappears around a corner, Neil makes his jump. Rolling to his feet, he leaps another railing. Then he darts into the office building, following the fugitive into the women's washroom and remembering a woman screaming the last time. Back out on the roof, he remembers the earlier chase. Just like the first time, the gunman leaps through the skylight down to the dry cleaners below. Neil remembers the gunman trying a gate before he leaped. Neil gets the lock off the gate. Throwing it open, he races down the fire escape. Hitting the ground triggers another memory.
Head for the street! We got him! Okay, mid-block! Stretch the street!
Neil dashes across the street and pushes the door to the construction site open. He follows his gun inside. He glances around the abandoned construction site, remembering the first time. Neil eases his way across the floor.
Location!
He remembers trying to coordinate the chase with Bly. Neil gazes through the maze of scaffolding. Looking down at the floor, he finds himself standing in a pool of water. Glancing up through the same vacant elevator shaft, he remembers a shower of welding sparks. Cautiously, Neil moves deeper into the skeleton of the building. He remembers the conclusion of the first chase.
Freeze! Freeze! Drop your weapon! Drop it!
Neil gazes up at the water dripping from the level above him. Holding his gun in both hands, he edges up an open steelwork staircase. Above, he hears a noise. Neil pushes aside a tarpaulin and finds a device that looks like a cell phone. Tearing through the tarp, he steps out onto a ledge on the facade of the building and bends to pick up the device. The device is a homing receiver.
That should do it.
Neil remembers the Chinese physician who stitched up his shoulder. Glimpsing a shadow behind him, he reaches through the tarp and flips the gunman onto the platform at his feet. It's Bly.
Hey, Neil. You're gonna need some silk.
Bly snaps a kick into Neil's groin and throws him over the edge. Neil grabs for the scaffolding, but falls to the street below.
Are you all right?
How does it feel to be a puppet without the strings?
Rolling out of the way as Ming's men open fire on him, Neil dives over a passing car. Finding a truck bearing down on him, he lies flat on the pavement. When the truck is gone, so is Neil, clinging to the bottom of the truck. At the curb, Ming bends down to retrieve the homing receiver. Glancing at the readout on the screen, he smiles. At Eleanor's office,
the art of war teaches win by destroying your enemy from within. Ironic, isn't it, that a 2,000-year-old strategy would be turned against the very people who created it? Better us doing it to them than them doing it to us.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about 20 years of China fucking America from within and nobody noticing. Well, now they're going to notice.
You're behind all this.
With just enough help from David Chan to keep everyone guessing. David Chan, most of all.
I don't understand.
Of course you don't, my dear. Because you, like most people, never stop to look at the big picture. I've been looking at the big picture every day for 20 years, and I've tried to look forward. And you know what I see?
I see China maintaining a stranglehold on freedom, influencing our political process with illegal campaign contributions, stealing our most secret military technology and selling it to our enemies, weakening us from the inside, like a virus. This trade deal is an invitation to finish the job. We intend to cancel that invitation. We intend to return America to Americans.
Who do you think you are representing?
The people who have steered this nation for decades behind the scenes. The people who protect democracy from itself.
Julia scoops up her bag.
For a woman obsessed with Chinese conspiracies, you sound frighteningly similar to the government you are trying to stop.
Thanks for stopping by. And thanks for this useful bit of evidence. I'm sure you'll find your own way out.
Glaring at Eleanor, Julia leaves. She finds the work area outside Eleanor's office, eerily deserted. Lightning illuminates the corridor as a thunderstorm moves in over the city. Julia approaches a bank of elevators, but as one arrives, she stops and edges toward the wall. As Julia darts around a corner and hides, Bly emerges from the elevator and stalks toward her. Julia moves through a corridor to the washrooms. The washroom she enters is deserted. Pacing nervously, she sets her bag down on the counter.
Shit.
Hearing something, she spins around. A shadow moves across the strip of light beneath the door. Julia tries the door, but it's been locked from the outside.
Oh, fuck.
She hurries to retrieve the phone from her bag.
Julia.
Shaw.
Julia.
You're breaking up, Shaw.
Neil's phone booth is across from the hotel.
Move where you can get better reception.
Shaw.
Move where you can get better reception.
I'm locked in the UN building. Hooks is behind everything.
Julia. Julia.
Police cars have gathered in front of the hotel. Julia loses the signal.
Sayla.
She glances around the room, looking for a way out. Crossing to the window, she stares out through the downpour. The washroom is located high up in the UN Tower. A car arrives in front of the hotel, and Frank and Ray get out.
Hey, guys! You call this a perimeter? Come on! Wake up! Jesus Christ!
Frank answers his phone.
Capella!
America's most wanted.
Well, I'm the man of the hour. So why are you calling? To explain Shannon's murder or to apologize for this afternoon?
Both. You want to meet? Let's meet.
Okay. Are you in the area?
With rookie boy's head in my sights.
Really? I could live with that.
Get back in your car. Drive to the other side of the park and pick me up.
No, I got a better idea.
Neil shoots the shaft of Ray's umbrella.
Okay, I get the message. I gotta go.
What are we gonna do?
Fuck, I don't know, Ray. Figure out something.
Neil has left the phone dangling.
Do not underestimate your friend. There's a reason I chose him as team leader, and there's a reason I asked you to deal with him. You obviously do not appreciate the schedule I'm working with.
I agreed to play Neil because I wanted to, not because of the money, and certainly not because of your right-wing ideology.
Eleanor glares at Bly.
You let me handle Neil, my way.
This is not about male testosterone between you and your idol. You were just a cog in the wheel of a larger machine. It could have just as easily been you out there chasing your own tail.
I understand. What do you want to do about the girl?
It's almost midnight. Security will be doing a check of the upper floors. You have a 30-minute window.
What about the guards in the lobby?
I'll take care of them.
Yes, ma'am.
As Bly leaves, Eleanor picks up her phone. Meanwhile, Neil gets into Frank's car.
What? Oh,
drive.
Oh, okay.
Neil holds a gun on Frank.
Where's your first aid kit?
Frank drives away. At the UN.
Security.
Yes, ma'am.
Attention. Stand by for a motion sensor test.
Protocol T7. All lobby personnel report to sub-level 1. Repeat. Lobby personnel stand down for a motion sensor diagnostic.
Bly snaps the man's neck. In Frank's car...
The trail ends with Eleanor Hooks. My guess is that she was using Chan and then she double-crossed him. It's a long story. Just drive.
Neil takes a scalpel to his shoulder wound.
Jesus Christ. This information has to come out for you to clear your name.
Can't do that. Any connection between Wu's murder, Chan, the Triads, and Hooks would kill the trade agreement.
Holy shit.
It completely destabilized the UN.
Christ.
Damn it, that's it. That's it. All she has to do is come clean. Tell the truth.
Truth?
Yeah, the truth about me, about the UN covert operations unit, everything.
She pins the assassination on you to discredit the UN?
Neil has dug the homing transmitter out of his shoulder.
Back to a Cold War. Give me your business card.
In the UN washroom, Julia dials a number. Her battery is too low to make a connection. Julia pulls on the washroom door and finds it unlocked. Easing it open, she edges out into the corridor. Security cameras pick Julia up, and Bly tracks her progress on the monitors. Peering over a railing to the floor below, Julia is startled by a sudden sound. As she moves on, Bly switches cameras.
Hello.
Bly watches Julia approach a dead end, then turn down another corridor. Meanwhile, Ming monitors the homing receiver. He's not far. Let's stop. Beneath an overpass, Ming and his men get out of their car. He's here, says Ming. One of his men leads Ming past a bank of payphones. Ming stops and looks over at the phones. He finds Frank's business card with the bloody transmitter stuck to it and Frank's phone number circled. Meanwhile, Frank pulls up in front of the UN.
Roll your window down so I can see.
Jesus.
Rain slants into the car as Neil peers across the street to the UN building. He spots a security camera monitoring the entrance and inspects the lobby with his digital telescope.
Security's not where they're supposed to be.
Neither am I.
Frank rolls up his window.
Capella.
It's for you, he mouths to Neil.
Yes. Well, I have a proposition for you.
Inside the UN building, elevator doors open. And Julia steps out into the mezzanine. Bly watches her every move on the monitors. Julia walks uneasily across the deserted floor.
Come on, sweetheart.
Julia approaches an escalator leading down to the lobby. Bly starts the escalator so it runs up instead of down, and Julia backs away from it. She hurries away from the escalators. Neil walks up the front steps of the UN, gun in hand. At the entrance, he punches in a security code. Bly spots him on the monitors. Neil glances up at the camera, then shoots out the lens.
All right, you wanna play?
As the revolving door begins to turn, Bly locks it down.
Let's have some fun.
As Bly puts on a wireless headset, Julia makes her way across the mezzanine.
The Art of War. Sun Tzu. Chapter 13. Doomed Spy. Does any of this ring a bell?
Bly can see Julia one floor below.
Sacrificing an agent without his knowledge can turn the battle in your favor.
Bly has his gun in his hand.
Befriending you, gaining your trust, all the while setting you up to take the fall. You disappointed me, Shaw. You were always one step behind. I gotta tell you, my friend, by the time we're done with you, you're gonna make Lee Harvey Oswald look like a fucking Boy Scout.
Julia edges forward nervously. A Bly's fist comes out of nowhere and knocks her to the floor. He picks her up.
But first we're gonna have a short class in Pacific Rim social economics. Specifically the effect of negative Chinese population density and how it relates to the African-American worldview. In other words, you're gonna watch me put a bullet in Little Miss Shanghai here.
From the mezzanine, Bly can see the figure caught in the frozen revolving door. He drops Julia to the floor and walks to the railing overlooking the lobby. It's Frank that's trapped in the door. Bly raises his gun. But the bulletproof glass deflects the slugs, and Bly sees who it is in the door.
Shit.
He turns at the sound of the elevator bells. Then he glances down to find Julia gone. Bly moves toward the bank of elevators, where light from an open car spills across the floor. The doors slide closed. Bly stands still, gun at the ready. As one elevator slides open, he steps in front of it. Then he whirls around as another opens behind him, but the car is empty. He rushes to the next set of doors. But that car is empty too. Bly backs along the corridor, his eyes wide and alert. Neil walks into the corridor behind him, and Bly turns to face his old partner.
I was thinking neighborhood rules.
Sounds good to me.
Bly drops his headset to the floor. Guns at their sides, they walk toward each other as the thunderstorm rages outside. They bob and weave around the floor, ducking each other's bullets. Out of ammo, both guns lock open. They crouch back to back to reload.
It's nice when an opponent raises the level of play.
You're too kind.
No, I'm not.
They both whip around, seeking the advantage. Their feet lash out, kicking each other's guns away. Neil slams Bly into the wall. They trade blows. Bly shoves Neil across the corridor and into the wall. Neil ducks a kick and counters, sending Bly sliding toward a gun. As Bly grabs the weapon, Neil dives on him, and they crash through a glass barrier to the lobby below. Stunned, both men lie immobile as the gun slides across the floor and shattered glass rains down on them. Bly moves first. Struggling to rise, Bly crawls across the floor, reaching for the gun. Neil stirs. Rolling onto his stomach, he reaches for Bly. As Bly grabs the gun, Neil lunges forward and wraps both hands around the weapon. Bly rolls on top of him, straining to force the muzzle into Neil's face. Neil ejects the gun's magazine, dropping the clip to the floor.
There's still one left in the chamber, amigo.
Neil flips Bly beneath him. But Bly rolls him over and ends up on top again.
Tell me, Master. What are you gonna do now, huh?
Bly forces the gun into Neil's face. Forcing the weapon to the side, Neil plants the muzzle on the floor.
Move!
Thumbing the hammer, Neil rolls aside as marble chips pepper Bly's face. Both men struggle to their feet, and Bly lashes out. Swinging the gun by its silencer, he pistol whips Neil. Neil's spinning back kick slams Bly into the security desk. Bly throws the gun end over end, but Neil ducks it. The gun shatters a plate glass UN logo. Neil's on his back as Bly attacks. Sweeping his legs, he sends Bly head first into the shattered glass. Neil springs to his feet and squares off for more. But a jagged shard of glass protrudes from Bly's neck. Neil backs off in a combat stance. It's Bly's last gasp. A figure appears behind Neil. It's Julia.
You're right.
Julia supports Neil as they cross the lobby.
Hello?
They leave Frank trapped in the locked-down revolving door.
Get me out of here!
Bly's corpse lies sprawled on the lobby floor.
Hello?
Later, a doorman helps Eleanor into her limousine.
Have a nice day, Miss Hooks.
Eleanor's Mercedes pulls away from the curb. Inside, the headline over Julia's picture reads, UN interpreter found raped and murdered, assassin suspected.
Dramatic.
Eleanor's caller ID tells her it's Bly.
I'm just reading about your handiwork.
Yeah, well, I was thinking of yours.
You betrayed me, Eleanor.
Sure. I thought our Eastern associates would have, made arrangements for you by now.
Well, staying alive is what you pay me for.
But I'm curious. What makes you think that what you did to Chan won't happen to you?
I don't like to speak ill of the dead, but between you and me, and whoever is listening, David Chan was a self-inflated, pig-headed asshole who no doubt deserved whatever came his way.
Her driver's tattooed.
And as for you, Shaw, well, you're still alive.
You just remember, Eleanor. What goes around, comes around.
Neil breaks the connection.
Sore loser.
They drive past the UN.
Max, you missed the entrance.
But it isn't Max behind the wheel. The Triad driver turns around and pumps a slug into Eleanor's head.
Eleanor Hooks was my right-hand man. She was my mentor. She taught me that a successful road to peace is founded on a principle of action, not reaction. She said that if what I believe to be the destiny of the United Nations is to be fulfilled, then we could not afford to wait around and then react to a member nation's call for help.
As Neil watches the broadcast at a sidewalk hot dog stand, police cars screech to a halt nearby.
Before they became explosive, before they led us...
Neil casually crosses the street, but another car blocks his path.
Eleanor Hooks.
Freeze!
Neil raises his hands and stands still.
This organization, to a policy of intervention, a policy of leadership.
Neil is surrounded by cops pointing guns at him.
Policy of aggressive peacekeeping.
Down on your knees!
Neil peers over his sunglasses at the FBI officer. Then he springs into action. Slugs whip into his chest, sprawling him on his back across the hood of a yellow cab. Over and checks Neil's neck for a pulse.
Call the coroner.
Ray sets off to make the call. Frank gazes somberly at Neil's blood-stained body. Later, in the south of France, a waiter brings Julia a bottle of mineral water.
Ça va bien, madame?
Oui, oui.
A sudden downpour forces the patrons to retreat from the sidewalk cafe. As Julia takes shelter in a doorway, a man stops beside her.
C'est la vie.
Julia looks over at him. It's Neil.
Excuse me, do I know you?
No, I don't think so. Do I know you?
Maybe it was in another lifetime or something. Have you eaten?
I have not eaten, but I have food at my place.
They walk through the rain beneath Neil's umbrella. Someone photographs them. The end. Visual effects supervisors Georges Jardin and Pierre Raymond. This described version of The Art of War was created by AudioVision Canada. The narrative description was written by Bill Williams, narrated by J.J. Hunt, and produced by Valerie Hunter and Marco Sorin. Cast of characters: Neil Shaw, Wesley Snipes, Douglas Thomas, Donald Sutherland, Frank Capella, Maury Chaykin, Eleanor Hooks, Ann Archer, Julia, Marie Matiko, Bly, Michael Bean, David Chan, Kerry Hiroyuki Tagawa, Novak, Liliana Komorowska, Ambassador Wu, James Hong, Ray, Paul Hopkins, Ochai, Glenn Chin, Ming, Ron Yuan, Anna, Bonnie Mack, Tina Chan, Uni Park, Hong Kong reporter, Aaron Selby, Zhang Zi, Fernando Chen, Shades, Paul Wu, Alex Wingate, Noel Burton, TNN reporter number 1, UN, Andrew Poplosky, TNN reporter number 2, UN, Andrew Nichols, NYPD Lieutenant Mike Zaroukas, Tattoo Steve Park, reporter at Chan's Hotel Yardley Kavanaugh, TWN News Anchorman Frank Shorpian, New York Cop Number 1 Fred Bessa, New York Cop Number 2 Terry Simpson. Detective Number 2, Tony Calabretta. Dr. Chin, Fred Lee. Triad Hood Number 1, Wei Fang Tang. Triad Hood Number 2, Wei Fan Dong. Triad Hood Driver, Phil Chu. TWN Reporter, Janine Phillips. Reporter Number 6, Frank Cavallero. Diner Waitress, Michelle Sweeney. Production Designer, Ann Pritchard. Director of Photography, Pierre Gill. Line Producer, Peter Bray. Co-Producer, Richard Lalonde. Mr. Snipe Stunt Double, Clay Donahue Fontenot. Production Manager, Mario Nadeau. First Assistant Director, Michael Williams. Music Orchestrators, Ken Kugler, Roger Hewitt, Normand Corbet. Orchestra Conductor, Ken Kugler. Score Mix Engineer, Sylvain Lefebvre. Music Editors, Craig Pettigrew, Terry Delfing. Score Recording Engineer, Steve Smith. I'm Gonna Get You Now, written and composed by Jerry DeVilliers Jr. Performed by Jerry DeVilliers Jr. Art of Good Over Demonic, written and produced by Arvin Wallace and Ron Tuan. Performed by Rain, Sabado G, and Jay Simone. Eye Out, performed by Shades of Culture. La Fleur qui tu m'avais jeté, from the opera Carmen, composed by Georges Bizet, performed by Nikola Nikolov, with L. Marianov conducting the Bulgarian Radio Symphony Orchestra. Additional music courtesy of Intermed Films. Production financing provided by Imperial Entertainment Group, Morgan Rector, Jared Underwood, and National Bank of Canada. With the participation of the Government of Canada, the Canadian Film and Video Production Tax Credit, and the Government of Quebec, the Quebec Film and Television Tax Credit. A Filmline International production. Copyright 2000, Filmline International Incorporated.